Hello, and welcome to Why Wars Happened, a weekly history podcast where we talk about what led to war in history. I'm your host, Emily Ross, and today we're going to be discussing the things that led to the American Revolution, with a focus on Virginia this season. Okay, so where we left off in the last episode was that England was looking out for the people of England, and not so much for the people in the colonies. They didn't ignore the colonies completely, but on the issue of tobacco prices in Virginia, the Virginians were on their own. The prices that farmers got paid for their tobacco were so low that nearly everyone in the entire colony was left in severe poverty, unable to afford even the most basic clothes and items for daily living. Tobacco was the only thing Virginia could really make and sell. The government eventually started to reward any person who could make belts, ships, shoes, and clothes. Every county was also ordered to set up a small clothing factory so people could make clothes themselves. England had made a couple of laws that together were called the Navigation Acts. The Navigation Acts made it illegal to trade with any country other than England. The colonists were eventually allowed to trade between each other, but they had to pay a special tax to England for each sale. Since England wouldn't help them, Virginia had to come up with its own idea to limit the amount of tobacco that could be grown. As it stood, everyone in Virginia was a tobacco farmer, even the upper class. The problem was that they could really only sell their tobacco to England, and the people coming from England to buy it from them were paying them pennies for it, not enough to live on. And oftentimes, the people who were buying it didn't even buy the entire crop. So if farmers in Virginia only grew a small amount of tobacco instead of heaps and mountains of it, the English merchants who came to buy it would buy the whole crop. Less tobacco floating around also means that English merchants would compete to buy it. Each one would offer a little bit more money for it than the other English merchant, and so the price of tobacco would go up. Farmers would get more money. All they had to do was convince literally everyone in the colony and in the neighboring colonies to stop growing tobacco, or to stop growing so much of it. Easy, right? If that weren't hard enough, they also had to consider that less tobacco meant less taxes, and therefore less money for England. England kept that tax money, and it was good money for them, so they also needed to get England's permission, and that was going to be a little difficult. So off they went to England, where they officially petitioned King Charles II to forbid the planting of tobacco in Virginia and Maryland for 1 year. Charles II said no, and warned them not to come back with the same ridiculous request. However, 2 years later, the King's Council was able to convince him to reverse that decision. Sort of. What they said was that Virginia's Assembly could go to Maryland and have a talk with Maryland about what it would take to stop growing tobacco in both of their colonies. Maryland also grew a lot of tobacco, so Virginia needed Maryland to join whatever plan they were coming up with. Not exactly a green light, but it was a step forward at least. So Virginia and Maryland did come together for a meeting. Maryland was like, yeah, okay, let's do this. Virginia was like, great, let's get going. Then Maryland said, wait, hold on, what about North Carolina? They grow a lot of tobacco too, and if we stop growing tobacco, all the people buying it will just go to North Carolina, and North Carolina will get rich while we get poorer than we already are. Virginia agreed that North Carolina must be part of the agreement for the plan to work. So the colonists went to North Carolina and asked if they would join the agreement to stop planting tobacco for a certain time each year. North Carolina had its own troubles with the natives at this time. We may get into that in another season focusing on the Carolinas, but just know that they were too busy to get involved in whatever Virginia and Maryland was doing. They put it on a desk somewhere and basically forgot about it. And they forgot about it long enough that Maryland backed out of the agreement. Without North Carolina agreeing to join them, it would be too great of a disaster for Maryland to order their farmers to stop growing. As with England, and as with Virginia, Maryland had to look after its own people first. But good news came soon enough, and eventually North Carolina joined them. All three colonies agreed to stop planting tobacco for a certain time each year. Finally. But, and you may be shaking your head thinking, what now? Well, remember in a previous episode, we discussed how the king had given the entirety of Maryland to one man. And that man, Lord Baltimore, said no. He absolutely forbade Maryland from stopping the growing of tobacco. Probably because he was making money from it and didn't want to see that income go away. When news of the agreement falling apart reached Virginia, the people were furious. Governor Berkeley wrote that the assembly in Virginia was completely overcome with distress. He said all future hopes of being able to do ourselves good was now gone, because the colony was forced to obey other people's interests. So now, Virginia had no way of bringing the price of tobacco back up. That was the fault of the guy who owned Maryland. Other than the issue of stopping tobacco growth for part of the year, there were issues with Virginia's assembly at this time. The people complained about being taxed far more than they had voted on, and what's worse, these high taxes were being voted on by the assembly behind closed doors. Nobody was allowed to see what was said, where money was being approved to go, or how much each assembly member was paying themselves from the taxes. One complaint said that, quote, "It has been the custom of the county courts at the laying of the taxes to withdraw into a private room by which the people, not knowing for what they paid their tax, did always admire how their taxes could be so high." Another complaint from people in a different area said, quote, "We desire to know for which we do pay our taxes every year, and that it may no more be laid in private." Today, the government has to tell you where the tax money's going, at least to some degree. Back then, the government didn't tell them anything. People were just being charged super high taxes while most of them lived in poverty. And the government was like, "We're not going to tell you what we're doing with these taxes." People weren't happy about this. Some people suggested that taxes switch from taxing each person to taxing the land that each person owned. This seemed like a good idea at first, but was quickly discarded because it was too difficult to put into use. If all of this weren't bad enough, the assembly seemed to be spending their tax money on really stupid things. They wanted to build Jamestown into a proper city. I mean, that sounds good. Except for they either hired terrible builders, didn't provide enough money for it, hired builders who kept some of the money for themselves, or some combination of all of those things. They even passed a law saying that Jamestown was supposed to build 32 brick houses. Each county in Virginia had to build one of the houses, and each person in Virginia had to pay a special tax that would go towards paying for it. It was going to be awesome. But it wasn't awesome. According to one complaint, the buildings that were built in Jamestown were so terrible that people couldn't even live in them, and some of them literally fell down before they could be finished being built. Other work on other buildings never even started. Even more angering to the colonists were the protective buildings that were being built around the river edges and the edge of Jamestown. They were meant to save people from enemy attacks, but these were just as useless. One complaint said that the protective forts were never finished and were allowed to crumble into dust, burying the artillery within underneath sand, which then sat there, rusting, completely uncared for by anyone. A few years later, one of the king's men was rolling through town reporting to the king about how things were in the colony. His report stated that the forts were made out of mud and dirt. The people had paid enormous amounts of money to build them, but they didn't even do much to stop their enemies. To fix this, the assembly ordered for the buildings that could be repaired to be fixed up, and of course, new taxes to pay for it. To help with the cost of building the forts and protecting the colony against attacks, the assembly decided to have people from outside of the colony help pay for the forts. And to do this, the assembly charged anyone coming into Virginia from other colonies and from England a special fee. This fee wasn't to be paid in coins. It was to be paid in bullets and gunpowder. That way, less tax money went towards buying these things. Sounds great. But it seems that some of the government officials who collected these bullets and gunpowder payments kept them for themselves instead of giving them to the forts. So it didn't really save the colonists any money, since some of their taxes had to go towards buying these bullets and gunpowder anyways. Multiple counties complained about this. After all of that, the assembly decided to abandon the forts just 3 years later. Other buildings were planned but were either never built, or the ones that weren't maintained very well. Luckily, the war with the Dutch had ended. Unluckily, around the same year that the war with the Dutch had ended, the Dutch soldiers hadn't even left the colony before a heavy rain began to fall in Virginia. Endless torrents of water flooded the streets for 40 days. Then, 2 months later, a massive hurricane swept through Virginia. Winds knocked down buildings, hail as big as turkey eggs fell from the sky, and more endless rain poured into the colony. What little grain was left unspoiled by the earlier rains was now destroyed by the hail and the hurricane. It blew ships from their anchors. The wind carried one of the major forts into the river. Farms of corn and grain were destroyed. Tobacco was torn from the ground and ripped to shreds by the wind. Trees had fallen everywhere, and animals escaped their pens and ate what corn and grain was left undamaged. It was estimated that around 10,000 homes were destroyed in the hurricane's wake, and not one farm escaped ruin. Then, a few years later, a strange disease came through the farms and wiped out huge numbers of cows and bulls, which were normally used by every Virginia family to provide milk, meat, and labor. Then, a bitterly cold winter that year killed off even more of the animals. At this time, the price of tobacco was still very low. Poverty was still everywhere. So was desperation for anything that could bring income to families. Governor Berkeley wrote that the people of Virginia were so poor that if a war were to start again, the colonists' loyalty to England could no longer be counted on. Remember that until 1660, when King Charles II was invited to come sit back on the throne, people did trade with countries other than England, mostly with the Dutch. Then, after the king sat on the throne, he confirmed the Navigation Acts, which made it illegal to buy and sell from anyone other than England, or for the colonists to buy and sell to each other, unless they paid England a special tax, and the crews on the ships were mostly Englishmen. This was illegal before Charles sat on the throne, but people ignored it, and Parliament kind of left the colonies alone to do whatever they wanted, so the law wasn't really enforced until Charles sat as king on the throne. The Dutch not only had better quality items than England did when it came to selling things to the colonists, they also paid more for the colonists' tobacco. A lot more. In good times, the colonists preferred to trade with the Dutch. In desperate times, they'd be willing to break the law to trade with the Dutch. One letter from the assembly to the king stated that trade with the Dutch was so much better than it was with England that had the people of Virginia been suffering under a bad governor at that moment, they would certainly have revolted and joined the Netherlands. This was particularly concerning to England because a year or so after the hurricane, and just 6 years after the previous war with the Dutch had ended, another war with the Dutch broke out. But since Governor Berkeley had not yet become Darth Vader, the people didn't revolt. And the number of Dutch ships from the Netherlands that dared to come close to even try and trade with Virginia was very low. The Virginians who had managed to illegally trade with the Dutch were now left with nothing. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next week when we discuss how the king nearly destroyed Virginia by giving it as a gift to some of his friends, and how life was under Berkeley during his second time as governor. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode, and comment your thoughts on this episode below. See you next time on Why Wars Happened.